Daylin, how are you?
Good morning, Tony. I'm great. How are you?
For the life of me, I couldn't understand why anyone would want to be a member of the Lansing City Council, especially the last several months dealing with the past election and this budget. Why do you do what you do?
Because we love the city that we live in, and we want to make a difference, and we believe that we can, and I think that we work really hard to try and wrestle with those tough decisions and issues that do present themselves.
We've received many emails and phone callers from residents who believe that this budget situation might have been eased should Virge Bonero, who's the current mayor, wouldn't have been running for governor and would have been helping in this situation. Do you agree with that?
Wow. I think some of the things that we're wrestling with certainly have to do with the state, but from the side that we waited until almost the 11th hour to be informed about the revenue sharing, and that's something we don't have control of. We also don't have control of the where our property tax revenues come in at. Those are moving targets, and they fluctuate greatly, so I don't think that I would put the onus of that onto one individual. I would say we have a system now that puts us really in a pretty precarious situation that makes it difficult to manage any budget.
You and Kathy Dunbar, who's vice president of the Lansing City Council, put together a budget, and it was approved. There was some dissension. We're going to talk a little bit about that a little bit later on, but I wanted to talk about the pressure. Did you feel a lot of pressure to get this updated budget that you had done?
Absolutely, but the pressure was more from internal, from the standpoint that I knew from the conversations I had had with a number of my neighbors and family and friends that there were a lot of suggestions out there. There was a lot of input that we had to filter through. There were memos that presented themselves late in the process that needed to be ferreted out and vetted. And so that was the pressure of making sure that I was fair and equitable in the review of all of those suggestions and information that we took in, and I think we were able to do that.
John Pollard, who's with a local organization, thinks that a lot more could have been cut, which would have saved some jobs. He spoke specifically of supporting downtown entities and marketing and advertising campaigns. What do you think about that?
Well, we certainly want a world-class city. We want a place that people know what's going on in our city, that people are wanting to come out to activities, that want to have all aspects of life be rich and enjoyable in the city, and that includes the entertainment side, that includes the social side, that certainly includes making sure that we have businesses that are thriving downtown.
Okay, in your plan, the following cuts were included. Up to 102 workers will be laid off if $3.3 million in negotiated employee concessions can be reached. 61 jobs could be saved. Do you think that's going to happen?
I do. I made it very, very clear when we put the millage out to be voted on that we had two choices in my mind. We approve a millage or we go with an all-cuts budget. That was plan A and plan B. Many said that we didn't have a plan B. The plan B, like it or not, was the all-cuts budget. And that is where we landed. However, we were able to put a caveat in that would say we can save some of the jobs, which was important to all of us. I don't believe there is a colleague of mine sitting on council that had a desire to maliciously or viciously take jobs and hand out layoff slips. I don't think that was the intent.
What must you think when you walk past people whose jobs you just cut?
Oh, it's very difficult. One of the interviews that I did previously said, "You must have been able to finally sleep last night." Not so well. We still carry the burden of, we know this affected people's lives and their households. that weighs heavy on the shoulders of individuals that make these decisions. Trust that that is not something that is taken lightly.
How many fire stations are going to be closed?
We believe it will be two. However, again, the concessions that are being worked on are reasonable. We don't negotiate them, but from all the reports that I'm getting back is that those negotiations are going well and that individuals are coming to the table with a spirit of cooperation and collaboration to find all of the possible ways that they can to save jobs.
Should Lansing's police force be under one roof?
At some point, there's some goal to get to that place, but not to the detriment of the city budget. We would have eaten a tremendous financial cost to move out of either the two leases that we presently hold on the south end and the north end. So moving in that direction is certainly a long-term goal. However, I don't think we should do it at the cost to the city.
Where do we stand on the privatization of Grosbeck Golf Course as well as Evergreen and Mount Hope cemeteries?
Still in discussion. I know that we are having a special committee of the whole meeting on Monday at 6 p.m. to discuss if the council wants to put Red Cedar and Waverly on the ballot for consideration for sale of a portion or in its entirety, each of those courses.
We're talking with Aylin Robinson, who's president of the Lansing City Council, on the Tony Conley Morning Show on 1320 WILS and 1320WILS.com. Wanted to get your thoughts about the state of Lansing's public schools. There has been many folks who've come out publicly, including the mayor, to tell them to get their act together. What do you think when you see that there are going to be school closings, that there are going to be people laid off, that they are having so many challenges, so many that an emergency financial manager may come on board?
Wow, I think that's a loaded question, Tony, knowing that I work for a public school district and I see the inner workings and the wrestling that happens with that budget as well. I actually got to wear the budget hat from two different vantage points, one as a cabinet member and one as a council member. It's not easy all the way around. Certainly K-12 student funding has been reduced drastically and has crippled in many ways the administration's ability to be able to effectively even budget.
And Aylin, respectively, I'm not trying to put you in a bad spot. I know that you work for the Jackson Public Schools, mm-hmm. but my question was directed at you because it has to affect the quality of life here for the city of Lansing, people who are thinking of moving here, working here, investing here. And when you see that their board has dissension and their board has dissension with the superintendent, it's got to cause you some concern, doesn't it?
Well, I think their board business is certainly their board business. I think that they certainly will have to work through the issues that they are faced with, and I have my hands full on the city side.
Is there anything that the city can do to assist them?
I think we can continue to build the best city that we possibly can, as they, I'm sure, are attempting to build the best school district that they can, and that both will benefit the other.
All right, finally, Aylin, after getting through this budget process, what's next year look like?
Well, hopefully one that, as we did for this year, the vice president and I started early on looking at options, and the millage came out of that. And hopefully we'll take some of the suggestions that we did not have time to vet during this cycle. We'll start working on those this fall and move through with some creative and innovative suggestions for the balancing of the budet for FY13.
If revenues stay where they are, you're going to face some more cutting challenges, though, aren't you?
I would imagine that we're not out of the woods yet.
All right, Aylin, I know you're busy. I appreciate your time so much. We'll talk with you soon.
Thank you, Tony.